great. Okay. There we go. All right, well, you're a new division, and so actually a provisional, you'll be new soon, right? And maybe you don't know the history, but the Tri-Societies at one time was the American Society of Agronomy with two basically daughters, Soil Science Society of America and Crop Science Society, then in 2004 voted to split. So the American Society of Agronomy now is independent of the Soil Science Society of America and Crop Science Society of America. And as part of the discussion since 2004, it's been, okay, so who are we? We're 102 years old, 101st annual meeting. We've got a bunch of divisions, and we have a few things happening to us that we need to deal with. And so what's happened, there's been a process now called ASA restructuring that's been in place for the last couple years. And my job is to explain that to you, show you where we're headed, and then to have Newell and Kathy answer all your questions. So there you go. Got that. All right. It's the beauty of only beauty of being up here. Okay, so I've done this now like five times, and so I feel fairly comfortable with it. But it is a difficult topic. So what do we do? Why are we considering it? And the first thing is we need to know our history. So I'm going to give you a little history lesson. And I found that most people find it interesting because you don't know how we got here in the first place. First thing we need to know is that in 1907, ASA formed. It's just an entity. You don't see any divisions. You don't see any Crop and Soil Sciences or Soil Science Society of America. Those start to appear. And in 1931, we have our first idea of divisions. There are six divisions there. And the following year, the crops folks followed. And if you look again, then in 1947, they got readjusted. And it isn't until 1954 that ASA started their division structure with the first division on agronomic education. This is what we look like when we start to fill ourselves out. But even that changed over time so that currently today with some changes in 78, 84, 1995, and then the two new provisionals, 11 divisions with changing names, but that's essentially what we look like on paper right now in terms of an organization. We also have other folks that would like to have divisions. Organic has been on this for some time. They're kind of in limbo right now because of where we're at. They're getting tired of waiting, and we're going to have to make some decisions here fairly quickly. So the key developments were that the boards approved in November 2004 a restructure so that each society could operate independently. part of the driving force for that, I remember discussions when I was in S6 back in the early 90s, was we want to do things on our own. We don't want to always be tied to the mothership in order to do anything. A reflection of that was last year's meeting with the co-joint meeting with USGS. That took 10 years to get planned. So they want to be able to do that, and it led to larger discussions in crop science that we want to do it too, and so that's where we're at. The board started operating independently in 2006. We sat down as a group, and some of the folks in this room helped develop the first strategic plan, which is available on the internet. It was done in 2006. We are going to do it again next year because our societies are changing so quickly right now that even our strategic plan from a few years ago is not relevant any longer, at least as an entire piece. And in 2007, we created a new entity. You split the societies to operate independently, but we were mixed financially from a business operation. All our people were the same. Our CEO is the same. Our publications groups are the same. And so you couldn't dismember that. And so what they decided, they create yet another structure called ACCESS, Alliance of Crop, Soil, and Environmental Science Societies. Think of it as the business management segment of the societies. So instead of having three different business groups, three different publications, three different whatever, you form as one, and it's formed in such a way that the ACCESS could bring on other societies. And if you don't know this, we right now handle the meetings for the Entomological Society. And there are a lot of societies that are marginal at the business side, and we could see this ACCESS grow, add two or three societies over the next 5 years to help them on their business side. So That's an independent corporation of which we are, our executives are formed the board of that group. So we used to look like this, and now we look like this. We're independent. We're not tied together. And we do meet through the access board, and we talk a fair bit about interagency or cross society activities, but mostly it's business. We're talking about the business of the societies. Okay, second thing is, if we're now by ourselves, then we need to create a better identity for both seasoned and I'm kind of getting used to that term. I guess you're seasoned if you have some gray hair, according to Newell. So I'm a seasoned person. Then we have potentially new scientists and professionals that are not members of our society or are not active or not being served by our society adequately. So until 205, all AC and S divisions were part of ASA with board representation. So Souls had a board, Crops had a board, ASA had a board, and then they would meet as one great big board of 45 representatives, and that no longer takes place. 209, ASA membership is required to belong to an ASA division, but you don't. If you want to be a member, not subscribe to a division, you can still do that. ASA governance is based on division structure, so the programmatic services area and the governance are tied together, and what you're going to see is a proposal to split that. So here's a little bit about us. Our ASA membership trend peaked in the 80s. It's on a decline. You see there, that's, I don't know what date, the 205, 206 must be. We're down to this year 7,300. So we're still on the decline. And if you look at our demographics, it tells you a lot. This is 205, so add 5 years to each one of you, and you move yourself up the curve, and we are a society that's very heavy on what we call seasoned veterans, okay? All of us are becoming seasoned, and we don't have any unseasoned, okay? That's our problem. And this is not a characteristic of ASA. This is a characteristic of soil science, crop science, and a whole lot of other societies. Okay, it's the nature of the beast to some extent, but it's happening to us, and we have to start to deal with who's our future, where are we going. Newell and I attended a meeting with, anybody go to the Beachy lecture? Okay, well, we had a nice meeting with Roger at 3 to 4 on Monday, and talked about how do we build this base, because we don't have it anymore, and we need to have scholarships, and we need to have funds, and he was very agreeable, very nicely said. Hopefully he'll commit to it, but how do we build that base? The other thing is, in our university, we're having a shift. We just had 3 soils positions and 1 weed position go out of the crop science department. We're going to be lucky to get one back if we get that. But we're adding all kinds of molecular biologists and all kinds of other folks, so we're shifting who we are. And those folks are not necessarily joining the American Society of Agronomy. And one of the questions is why? And one of the answers is maybe they don't feel they have a home with us. Partly because of what we look like in terms of our structure. So, we need to reestablish ourselves as a standalone science. Who are we? We have to define ourselves. This is one example of a definition. I know if you've read over the last couple years, Ken Moore had a series of articles about what is an agronomist. And this is one example. But we are involved with land management, and we are involved with the production of food, fiber, feed, and fuels, and we are involved in ecosystem services or environmental services. So the third aspect is, if we're going to change, then we need to enable responsiveness to emerging needs and interests of the members. And who are they? And they're not just us. It's this next generation. It's the people who are not here that we're concerned about. Responsiveness means unshackling ourselves from constraints imposed by the presence of a structure, which in our case is divisions, requiring bylaws to be changed whenever programs are added or revised. So you know this very well. How many years before you even got proficient over, you're trying to figure out how to do this, and you're still trying to get there. And in the new structure we're proposing, it could have happened like that. And so that's what we're trying to talk about here. The strategic plan that was developed in 2006 had a lot of great words in it and concepts. We need to innovate. We need a powerful advocate and voice for advancing agronomy, be proactive. This morning, we had a meeting with the Canadian Society of Agronomy and Canadian Soil Science Society, and the comment was made that if you go into their main offices of their government and you say the word agronomy, it's a ho-hum, is that what they used? You know, yawn. I went to the World Food Prize a few weeks ago, and agronomy was looked at as the savior of the world. So who do we want to be, the ho-hum or the savior of the world? Well, I know where I want to go, so what do we got to do? Support new programs and services faster. You can appreciate that as a division trying to get up and running. Be leading edge innovative forums. That's what you guys are about right now. And articulate a vision for the vision for the future. So we look like this. Is this what we're going to be? And the answer is we probably are not going to have the kind of society we have because we did not evolve from an era of rapid response. We're not nimble, we're not quick, we're not able to go after this, and we were having discussions this morning about food security. I mean, can you see a division on food security right now? Well, it's the hottest topic in the world, and it would take us 5 years to respond to it, right? Okay, so conclusion, ASA restructuring is needed to facilitate program development for primary interests of our members. So let's be what our members want us to be, and then we have to also have an efficient and equitable system for governance of the society. That's not a nice wish. That's a requirement of being a nonprofit organization in the United States. We have to do that part correctly. So we're saying we're organized, coupled programs and services to governance, and we're going to go like this. I'm going to take it apart. So back to our idea, that structure that facilitates program development for all of our members, and we got to deal with governance. Five principles. Members should be able to readily identify their programmatic area of interest. If there's a couple dozen folks in this place that say, you know what, this is so important, we need to organize and get moving and become a group, it should be able to be done. It shouldn't be a question. Programmatic areas will be nimble, easily changed to reflect emerging interests and problem areas. Areas can be added or deleted easily without disrupting or requiring governance change. That's the process you folks have been going through for years. Governance through board of directors will reflect broad areas of membership interest. Basically, what we're saying is all the entities of interest have to be kind of focused down for governance. Everyone can't be involved in governance. It doesn't work. Boards of directors have very definable roles, and it's generally they're generally made up of handfuls of people, not hundreds of people. And it's just the way boards of directors work, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And they need to be set up because there has to be continuity in the board of directors to fill the obligations, the legal obligations of a 501c3 corporation. Okay, so what are you talking about here? Let's look at the program services side of this decoupled system, and now we're talking about a thing called communities. And communities is a nice word, but what is it? What does it mean to be a community? Community represents members with a common interest or passion or a natural cluster. Isn't that what you guys had come to, right? So it's exactly what you're talking about. Here, members will develop the majority of their society associations that magnify science and science delivery. Again, what you guys are trying to do here in this division. And the themes can be very diverse in many. Obviously, scientific investigation is one thing. How you analyze, so we have another new division, A11, on statistics. Educational roles, geographic areas, communication technologies, emerging challenges, and whatever you can think of for a reason to form together into a group. We have a source of information about how this would look. ASA did a division survey. And we have a realignment task force right now, but a number of potential communities have been proposed, both from the survey, from discussions with folks, and from the work of the realignment task force. And so if you start to put them into a table and a list, and you look up there and you go, that's a nice list, but I don't see myself, or I see myself clearly, or I see myself, but I don't know what those words mean, don't worry about it. None of these are formed yet. Someone has to form them. They have to put together the community and propose that community in a very simplistic procedure that we'll talk about in a minute. These words may stay alive. They may not. They might be other ones. It's very versatile. So even though there's a list, the first thing you put up a list and someone says, I'm not on the list. And the point is it doesn't matter. Okay? That's the beauty of what we're talking about. So how will it work? ASA members can elect to be associated in as few or as many communities as they choose. And how many are in multiple divisions? Not multiple societies, I mean. Right? Pretty much everyone. Right? I'm Soils S6 for 31 years. And yet I have a home here and I'm president of this society. That's exactly the way most of our members operate. And I see myself in multiple communities because I do have a thought now and again about statistics, and I want to be involved with that group, and so forth. All right. Number of communities a member can affiliate with will expand and contract to reflect their interests. So you might be involved in a number of them. You might be involved a few, and it may change the next year because something changed. Community would be developed very easily, not what the process you just went through. It would be a simple petition to the ASA board. Names and description of the community, the activities you'd like to form, and who's on your list. And one other requirement that, I guess that's on another slide, but you're going to have a leader here too. If your community doesn't do anything, you either self-dissolve or someone comes along and says, you're not doing anything, you don't exist. So we don't want a bunch of things out there that just don't do anything. That's not good either. A few more points. Not set in stone, flexibility, nimbleness, that's the words you should be thinking about when we talk about communities. And we'll discuss over the next year, the first meeting of communities will be used to identify communities and the names and so forth. And our alignment task force has their work cut out for them. There's going to be a lot that has to happen in a relatively short period of time. The ones that were proposed may not ever make it. And this is key, that the community requires leadership. So our vision is that the communities would organize, and then they would identify a leader in that community. Here's our leader, and that person gets involved in some other aspects that are yet unclear. Newell's going to tell us, aren't you, Newell, in a minute. How about the other side, governance? We have to have it. It's required. So the governance society is accomplished through a board of directors. If you're not familiar with how boards of directors work, you should probably read something about them. They're concerned about the financial health of the operation. They're concerned about whether the people that are in the organization are in fact executing the wishes of the society, in our case, the society. Hopefully you hire the best people and that's never an issue, but it does become an issue. You do strategic planning so that, hey, if your organization doesn't look right to you, you sit down and you talk about restructuring like what we're doing right now. That's what the board does. The board does not represent the division and the division interest about what's going on. In fact, we had a conversation, the last one is, Steve Petrie said, I don't think it ever came up. You know, we don't talk about divisions. Divisions are just the way we organize ourselves. The board of directors talks about the society as a whole. And they should be thinking about the society as a whole. Board consists right now of the president-elect, president, and past president. That forms the executive committee. That committee also serves on the executive committee of Access. We currently have 11 board reps representing the 11 divisions. That's going to be decoupled. We have ex officio members and the editor-in-chief and CEO. We also have a person on the board from the CCA and the Agronomic Science Foundation. The board functions policymaking and following society bylaws. That's important because in order to make this shift, we have to change the bylaws. Right now, our bylaws specifically outline how divisions are set up and how they work and what their roles and functions are and how they're taken care of and so forth. That's going to change, and that's where the vote will come in. Strategic planning and implementation, we will talk about that again this year. And the finance and resource management, including directing now the Access program, which just started in January 2009. Okay, so what are we going to go to? The proposal on the table is that communities would then organize into a smaller group of what we will call sections. And the sections proposed that it came out of the survey and discussions in the committee are seven. We're not limited to seven. We're not limited to these names. This is the straw man, right, Newell? But we got to do something, and it's going to have to be some structure like this because we have to aggregate let's just use, for example, that we had 100 communities, which is conceivable. And we have 100 communities with 100 leaders. We've got to bring that down to maybe 10 or so people that are on the board of directors that function to look at the business side and the governance side of our society. So we can have a discussion about that. So we got to aggregate the communities into sections, and this is what the sections might look like. And the task force have said, okay, we'll group them. We'll take a chance and we'll put these together, and so that's their grouping. And then they would turn and say, those are sections with section names, and that's how we'll do that. All right? So there has to be some aggregation from the left side to the right side to fit the board of directors model. The problem is everywhere we've gone has said, excuse me, but I see us crossing over, and I'm sure you do too. And so we've had more discussions today, and let me get through the process and I'll get back to this issue because I think it's an important one. This is not done in darkness. The survey said 79% agreed that community and section groupings make sense. 62% agreed that communities more effectively represent ASA than the current structure. 77% agreed they can see one or more communities in which they would actively participate, and 64% support this new structure. The last one says 36% don't, right? So it's not a unanimous decision. There's also a lot of learning going on here. And in fact, even since the survey, I think the learning has been tremendous, right?
And those broken down into the season versus unseason?
No, in fact, what would be your estimate of the number, percentage of people who vote or answer a survey in our societies? Pardon me? Yeah, but what percent? Give me a number, 0 to 100.
80%.
Less than 10.
No, right. Your answer to different questions, he's talking about the percentage of vote coming from a season group.
Oh, no, I meant just in general surveys. Less than 10%. And those are going to be people who are specifically interested. So my guess would be is it's more seasoned. What was the number of respondents?
Back up. 840.
A little over 10%. Okay, and voting for elections that you're talking about is less than 10.
It was actually about 12 this year.
Yeah. But I mean, it varies from year to year, but it's not good. And by the way, that's very typical of societies, which is not a very good thought. But I will tell you now, we can't have that. We're going to have participation here. This is about who we are and what we're going to be, and we want our society to be about our members, right? That's the whole point of the whole thing. Okay, a little off track. So, what's going on? Division Alignment Task Force, led by Lowell Mosier and Elise Summers, they included the survey. They sent recommendations to the board this year in our May meeting. The board have said, okay, their recommendation is to move forward with realignment, and so we formed a transition team, which is co-chaired by Deanna Osmond and Newell Kitchen. And Kathy is here, and anybody else?
Not on the team.
But Rob's on the board. They've been working very hard. Weekly phone calls, meetings, trying to figure this out. And by the way, you'll see in here, the problem is this affects our staff and how we do business. And they're all like, okay, so how are you going to do this? Because we have membership and we have, how are we going to do all this stuff and how does it all work? And so they're involved in the transition team as well. The idea is by the middle of this year that there's a vote on the bylaws, and the bylaws will accurately describe the new structure, because right now it accurately describes the old structure. Members should vote on that. If it passes, we move on. If it doesn't pass, we're not there yet, but we can't not do anything. It's going to have to be, what do we do next? So you have to be thinking in terms of, what do we do? How do we make ourselves better? The annual meeting will initiate the communities. So if you're thinking you're just becoming a, a division, now you have to look at yourself in communities. And the question would be for you is, do you have more than one community in biofuels that would be related, but actually do something just a little bit different? Or is it all one? And it could be very large, or it could be multiple communities. And that's how your group would decide. And you could have a group within your group that says, you know, there's about 20 of us that would like to kind of focus on this, and that's okay, right? That'd be the idea. This thing would be launched the first of the year, 2011, with the new communities and the new governance structure in place. Okay, program planning. Now we have to take ourselves back, and had a lot of discussions, but do you want to describe how chair-elect of sections? I mean, you've had that discussion, Noel, but go ahead.
At this point, our thinking would be that at that, what we're calling section level, you can almost think of those sections as kind of divisions, but we're using a different name, a section. There would be a section, probably co-chairs, one that's been there years, so you basically have some experience there, and so you're taking away the past, you know, the one that's been there for 2 years, he's going off it, or she's going off it. Basically, you have two people there, and they would continue to provide the service of coordinating and planning for the meeting.
So it's similar to the division people. Or 14 people would do the program planning.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
All right. So it would be under 7 umbrellas.
The way we're doing planning now is we're asking for topical sessions predetermined so that the authors fit in to those. So if you're going to have a sessions for next year, you got to come up with topics that say this covers our population, and they just got to decide where they want to go. And that worked very well once we got to that point. This is going to only be our second year with that idea. So one symposium this year, Newell's going to talk about it tonight, and up to 10 or 12 topical sessions, depending on what fits your group. And those can have, you know, invited papers in those topical sessions, anything you want to do. But let's say your communities right now, right? I don't know how many you're going to need to cover this community. You could be a very large community, actually. In fact, if you are communities, you might end up with all the people that are working on biofuels are all part of this community. And not right now, it's split all over the place. And so they can say, well, I'm in three communities. I do biofuels, so I'm with this one, and I'm on something else, and I do that one, and I'm on microbial, whatever, and I do that. And so I'm a member of three communities. Might work well for you guys, actually.
So, Fran, in the interview here, I'll ask a question for the benefit of my colleagues, Mike.
Yep.
And Jim, what is, in the transition, what is the role of the chairs?
Okay. We have to keep our current structure. Our bylaws require us to keep going, so it's the same. So let's say we do get to the transition in 2011. My personal feeling would be is that you reaffirm your belief in the people you voted for, and they just become they get moved up somewhere in the group. Maybe they become the group leader. We had a little discussion today in various meetings about leaders. Let's just say we had 100 communities, just because it's a nice number. So we have 100 leaders, which is a good thing for our society. We have a lot of leadership in our society. But now we got to get down to 10. Let's say we got to take that from 10 to 1, you know, 10. How are we going to do that? So perhaps we will have some sort of our leaders are sent in with, we have some sort of a leaders congress that then determine how we move up the chain. And that might be one way of doing it. I don't know. Kathy's a statistician. We decided she's going to run some sort of statistical paradigm, and if you can understand that, she'll buy you lunch or something. But no, I mean, we have this problem. We have governance and we have programs.
So, if you have any ideas, your question, help me. I'm jotting down all these
they agreed to run.
based on the old parent.
Right.
Some they may not.
Where is that? Well, I'll get up one more.
Just even that survey, we believe there's going to be some people picked up, okay, which almost there are some people that got picked up for and lost in the last time. So there is a very good potential to lose some membership because of the, I guess, the things change.
I don't care what change, I don't care what we did in change, it's change is hard.
Yeah.
Change is hard. Also, lack of change is also hard because lack of change is taking us down the tube. So lack of change is going to be a difficult thing for us to swallow too. So people are leaving our society right now because they don't like us, because we don't suit them. So we have to figure out what we're going to do. But I think we're going to have to see what kind of response we get, what kind of ideas we have, and I think the membership will vote this either up or down. And if they vote it down, we're going to have to sit down and regroup and say, okay, so what are we then? Can I just tell you, I mean, some of our divisions have nine, I've spoken to as small as seven people in a business meeting. And I said, where are they? Well, they don't come to our meetings any longer. One of the divisions said, we can't get our people to come to our meetings any longer. They got seven. That means they have a board rep for seven people. You know, I mean, it's, is that representative? I don't know.
Well, I think these, you know, people show up here and are interested in organization of the division.
Right.
And then, but there are a lot of other people say, okay, I'll just go and I'll fit into a division. I don't care.
Right.
You know, and that's that.
Right.
That's way.
No, but I meant they're not coming to our meetings. They basically admitted that their division is just collapsing. They're not coming. Yeah. So we have other divisions that are huge. A5, A3, A8, huge. You know? We'll see how it goes. We've got a dedicated group. I'm not working on the committee. Newell and Kathy and some others are. And they're working very hard and they're listening. And all they can do, their charge is to come up with, after years of looking at this, here's a proposal, this is what we're doing, they're listening, and they're going to put something out, and it's, like I said, it'll be in terms of a bylaws change. And the membership has the right to vote that up or down. But if there's an alternative, boy, I'll tell you what, they're willing to hear it. I'm an A8 and S6. I'm happy. I mean, I because we got viable groups in both groups, and I, you know, it's fine. But I also appreciate the community approach, and I do cross over into multiple
Brandon,
things.
In the interim here, are you soliciting input from
everything that you see or want to hear about this is going to be on our ASA website. I think they're going to make a special link for this shortly. There'll be discussion, there'll be whatever, and they'll finally come and say, we took everything everybody told us, and here's our best shot at it, and they'll explain it, and then there's going to have to be a vote because we're required by our bylaws to have any change in our bylaws approved by a vote of the full membership. If we have 8% of the membership vote on that, I'll certainly be disappointed. That does not leave a very good feeling in your stomach when you get those kinds of numbers. It's really hard to tell, well, what does the membership really want to have? So I hope we can get, good or bad, positive or negative, just get a great vote and get a lot of expression from our membership. Thank you.
Thank you, Fran. So is there any more business anybody would like to bring forward to the meeting before we adjourn? Just like to remind you of the poster session at 4:00. It says session 164. A lot of papers there, and I encourage you to go. Well, do I hear a motion for adjournment? Second? Okay. All in favor? Adjournment. Opposed. We're done. Thank you, everybody.
Show you what we're thinking of something where I was concerned.
Except I'm actually in the wrong place, because modeling, our code, my stuff is modeling.
Good.
Yes, that's where I presented before, but.
Yeah, that's good, right? The one that I'm not going to get, that's one down, the other one's strapped to the right.